Well, how are you on this morning? I do trust you are indeed doing well, as God has blessed us to come into this place one more time. I need to do a check for a moment here. How many people in here love God? Okay, now that was okay if we were just doing something on the side, but let's be real about it. How many of us really love God and know that He loves us? That's a little bit better there, because God truly does love each and every one of us individually and collectively, and I'm excited about that. Hey, my name is Avery, and I'm just so grateful for Pastor Skipper allowing me to come here and share with you all on this morning as we challenge and engage ourselves in the Word of God, that we might be better for that. I understand that it's our first time meeting each other, and so just as you are somewhat apprehensive, I'm nervous too. I mean, all of y'all looking at me, you know, all eyes on me. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this thing, but we do thank God for the opportunity. Indeed. How many of you ever been in a place where you felt like everybody was watching you? I got two people right over here. I feel you, man. I feel you. And you know how it is that you feel like everybody has their eyes on you? You know that apprehension you feel when you think somebody is looking at you? It almost makes you pay attention more to what you look like. And you always often figure out, well, how am I going to put my clothes on? And is my hair right? And do I look right? Because everybody is looking at me. The beauty is that with all those who are looking at you, God sees you, and God loves you the way you are. And I celebrate that every time I come before believers, that God loves us just the way we are. Bow with me. Father, you are good, and we thank you for the awesome privilege of worship. Thank you for allowing us into your presence. Now we ask that you draw us closer to yourself, that we hear from you and your word. We are challenged by your word, and our lives begin to reflect that we indeed follow you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read to you from a passage of scripture in John chapter 1, where we'll be looking at a selective passage beginning at the 35th verse, as we're challenged on this morning. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. God's word declares, if you have that in your Bibles, now if you don't have it and you're still looking for it, just say, hey, hold up for a moment. I heard one person say, hold up for a moment. Okay, I'm going to hold up and wait for you. I'm going to make sure you get there. John chapter 1, verse 35. Are you there? All right. God's word says, the next day again, John being John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to him, what are you seeking? I like this part. And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and they saw. Did you catch that? They said, where are you staying? Jesus says, come and you will see. And they came and they saw. Brief moment, I want to challenge us. How many of you be watching the Super Bowl on this coming Sunday? How many? I got to see who's going. Now, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Hold on. I hear the Seahawks are going to win. No. Huh? The Broncos are going to win? Yeah. Oh. How many Seahawks fans do we have by waving your hand? Let me see where you are. Oh, okay, all right. How many? I see you back there. How many Broncos fans do we have? Now, how many Texans fans do we have in here? All right. It's amazing how, I hear you, bro. Look, state your claim. It's amazing how we're fans of different things of life. Isn't it funny how we start off the season as Texan fans, but the closer we get to the Super Bowl, we become Bronco fans or Seahawk fans? It's funny like that when you're a fan, and not just fan of sports, because some of you, you know, you're not into sports, but maybe you're into music and you're a fan of a particular artist or a fan of a particular player or a fan of a particular school. I don't know. It could be, but we all are fans of something or someone. You know a fan because a fan is the person that roots on the sideline. They're rooting there like, we want our team to win. And if that team loses, they hang up the jerseys, they put the hats up. But followers are the people who can tell you every stat that the players played on. Followers can tell you every song that an artist has rendered. Followers can play you when can tell you when somebody started their career, when they got injured, and when they ended their career. Because they're invested in the person they're following. Because there is a distinction and a difference between a fan and a follower. Fans are those who are with the Texans when the Texans are winning. Followers are those who will go with them at their last game and they haven't won 12 games and they'll still show up. Anybody in here like that? They're followers. The question that begs answering this morning as we read from John's passage is, in your relationship with Jesus Christ, which are you? Are you a fan? Are you a follower? Remember, fans are the ones that cheer on the sidelines, so on Sundays they can say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. But on Monday through Friday, it's questionable. Followers are those who forsake all in order to follow him. Just amongst yourself, who are you? John the Baptist in the text, he sees Christ. He sees him and he points him out to the disciples that were with him. They were John's disciples. And they were standing right with John and he points them out to Jesus. He points to Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God. He shows those who are around him who matters most to him. When I first asked you, I said, how many of us love God? We heard an overwhelming response from everybody that's in here. He said, who really loves God? Give me a second time. We heard an overwhelming response from everybody. But if we truly love him, then would we recognize him when we see him? That's really what you see John doing. He stands with those around him and he says, behold the Lamb of God. And as a result of what John recognized, John identified, John verified for them, everybody around John was influenced to follow Christ. My heart and hope for you is that you truly become a follower of Jesus Christ. That you not just know about him, know about his works and his miracles, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Because to follow him, here's the first teaching point if you're tracking with me. To follow him is to know him. To follow him is to do what? Oh, you're not saying like you know it. Let me check this crowd over here. To follow Mr. What?
Amen.
It's to know him, hold on, and to make him known. To follow Christ is to know him, not just a head knowledge, but that I've had an intimate relationship with him. It's to look at where he is, identify him for who he is, and saying, I want to learn of you. How many of you know that when Jesus returns, he's returning to those who've had an intimate relationship with him? It's an interesting text here. John says to all those around him, his friends and associates, he says, look, Christ is there. And immediately those around him went to know Christ, to not just hear about him, but began to commit themselves to living their lives with him. So here are these disciples. They see John. John's pointing. They see Jesus. Jesus is walking. And the two disciples run up because they want to follow him. And as they're going to follow him, the text says that Jesus turns around and he sees them following him. He sees them focusing on him. He sees them intently trying to navigate their steps the same way he's navigating his. If Jesus were to turn around right now, would he see you following him? Now, let's be honest. We follow a whole lot of people, don't we? I mean, between Facebook and Instagram, we follow a whole lot of people. How many of you have a lot of followers on your Instagram? Let me check out for a moment, make sure I'm stirring your Kool-Aid right. Okay, I see three people over here. Yeah, all right, we're over here. How many still flow with Facebook and you have a few friends and they're tracking with you? We have followers all over the place. CNN did a report on a 17-year-old who had over 400,000 followers on Instagram. That just blew my mind. I said, wow, I don't even know barely 1,000 people, and she has 400,000 people following her. I wonder when Jesus turns, does he see you following him? Or is it that our lives have become so consumed with social media and everything else that we're following the culture as opposed to following Christ? Jesus turns to them. He saw them following and he said, what are you seeking? He says, what are you seeking? And they said to him, check out what they said. Because if you want to be a follower, you want to be able to say this on a regular basis. They said, Rabbi, meaning teacher, where are you staying? Because if you're going to follow Christ and you're going to know of Christ and to make him known, you have to know where he is. In other words, you want to be where Christ is. Look what it takes, though. And this is hard for some of us. Look at what it takes. It took those disciples of John leaving John to follow Christ. It took them making a hard decision of changing some of their associations in order to know Christ in a real way. Because if we're going to know him, it calls for us moving from some things in order to move closer to him. Now, I don't know what happens in your life. I'll be honest. I don't know what's on your emails. I don't know what's on your instant messengers. I don't know what's engaged in your life. But I do know this, that if there's anything that you're involved with in life that isn't drawing you closer to Christ, it's time for you to choose to let that go. Because if we're going to truly follow him, we have to remove ourselves from some associations that we might draw closer to him as our teacher. And say, Lord, show me where you're working with. So there, if I get on campus and there are a group of kids and Christ is not involved, Christ is not engaged in that group, then I might want to question whether or not I want to hang or flow with them. Because I'm looking not to be a fan on a Sunday morning. I'm looking to be a follower each and every day of my life. And so they made the decision to move from where they were, to move to God, because followers of God know him, so they might make him known. But not only did they move so that they might know him, if you're going to be a follower of God, our second takeaway here. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, you have to grow in Christ. And guess what? Make him known. You have to grow in your relationship with him. How many of you, when you fell in love with Christ, you still remember doing that? How many of you, that first time, you remember that first time you were at a retreat, you were at a weekend getaway, and you fell in love with Christ? How many of you remember that first time? Was it good for you? You remember the relief that you had and how the guilt was taken away and you felt loved. You remember that time, don't you? But if that's the only time you remember with Christ, then maybe you're not growing in Him. I submit to you that when you grow in Christ, you get to learn more and more and more about what He intends for your life. When you grow in Him, you get to see where He is and see where He's working and see what He wants for your life. They said, Master, we want to be wherever you are. That's where we want to be. Whatever it takes for us to give up, then that's what we're going to do because we want to be with you. We want to follow you. It almost reminds me of a song back in the day. I don't know if you don't know about this. Back in the day by Ludacris when he said, when I move, you move just like that. And when I go, you go just like that. The reality is Christ says if we're going to follow Him and grow in Him, we have to do what He does when He does it. We have to pray on a regular basis to commune with Him, that we might grow in Him. And growing in Him means that He will challenge us to grow away from some of the things we're comfortable doing. See, here's the major distinction, that if I'm really going to be a follower, I have to be willing not only to detach that I might know Him, but I have to be willing to change some things about who I am in order to grow more with Him. They said teacher, but in order for Him to be a teacher, you got to show up to the class. You have to be able to be present and accounted that, God, I want to learn from you, not just on Sunday, but every day of my life, I'm seeking you. They were willing to follow Him so they might grow in Him. Because in growing in Him, they make others know. Check out text. Christ says, come, you want to follow me? Come and see. It's very interesting here. It says, so they came and they saw. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to know it for yourself. I need to pick on somebody for a moment here. Who can I pick on? Oh, I got three people. Well, I got a whole lot to choose from, multiple choice. Here it is. What's the last movie you've seen? See that? I can't pick on you, man. What's the last movie you seen?
What was it?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
White House Down.
That was a good movie. What's the last movie you seen?
Mask.
What is it?
Mask.
Did I get it right? All right. Any of you seen any of those movies? Frozen. I'm on my way to see that. Oh. Now, how many of you have seen Frozen? How many of you are going to see Frozen?
Yeah.
All right, it's okay. Don't be scared. Don't be ashamed. And I promise you're going to see Frozen because somebody told you that Frozen was a good movie. The reason you went to see it is because someone said you ought to go and see it because it's a good movie. And it's wonderful because we get excited about what we saw, but how many people are waiting for us to say, come and see Jesus? Because I saw Him for myself. For those who experienced it, they can say, I did it. I went there. I connected with Him because I'm growing with Him. And there are so many people who are waiting for you to come and tell them about your experience with Jesus so that they too can want to get to know Him and grow in Him. Because we're challenged that if we're going to be followers of Christ, we have to seek to know Him and to make Him known. We have to seek to grow in Him and to make Him known. And it amazes me how, and we get caught up in that thing, you know, how if we run across something good, we share it with everybody. I mean, let's be real about it. If you come across a good song, don't you tell your friends? Oh, you're not a good friend. Let me check on this side here, huh? If you come across a good deal, don't you tell your friend, oh, wait a minute, hold on. If you come across an easy teacher, don't you tell your friend, schedule this class. Come on, you in church, be real, be honest. Come on now, come on. Why? Because we want them to experience the goodness that we've experienced. We want them to see what we've seen. If you are a follower of Christ, not a fan, but a follower of Christ, then not only do you want to grow in your relationship by studying your word, by coming into prayer, by joining a life group, by learning in faith that's coming up in a little bit. No, you also want to share with others. Let me tell you what I've seen. Let me show you what I've learned. But in order to learn from Christ, you got to show up in the class. And that means making those hard decisions that on this day, I'm not going to focus on what I normally focus on, but rather I'm going to start to cultivate the disciplines of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. In doing so, you're learning and you're striving to know him so you can make him known. You're striving to grow in him so that you can make him known. But then you're also striving to go with him so that you can make him known. It's right there in the text. Because after they said, show us where you're staying, and he says, come and see, and they came and they saw where he was staying. Verse 40 says, one of the two heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Check this out, verse 41. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. My show of hands, and I'm not trying to single anyone out, but how many in here you have a best friend? Raise your hands. How many of you, you're on that other level where it says, you know what? I don't have friends. I have associates. And you have a whole lot of associates. I hope you're not sitting by your friend when you did that, all right? But if we are really going to be best friends, best buds, BFFs, best associates, wouldn't it be the greatest thing to share with your friend, your student, your family, the best thing that's ever happened to you, if that's Jesus Christ? I wonder how much of a tragedy it is for you to be in school with someone, be in class with someone over and over and over again, and then they die, and we've never shared anything about Christ with them. I wonder if they look back and they look at us and they say, you were in math class with me all these years. You knew him, but you never shared him with me. I wonder if we're going to truly be friends, if we're going to truly be good neighbors, then we ought to, as we go with Christ, tell others about who he is and what he's done in our lives. Because it's one thing to know him, but I can't stop there because you can't know Christ and grow in Christ and do nothing about it. He compels you to go out. He mobilizes you for ministry that you can become a fisher of men and other men, friends, everybody that comes into your context. Why? Because everybody can't go where you go. I mean, I'm a preacher, but they're not going to let me go on Cleb's campus and just say, hey, let's huddle up so I can give you a message. No, they're not going to do that. They might handcuff me and tell me, you know, you shouldn't be here. But guess what? Each and every one of you who exists on a campus are a missionary for Christ.
And if you know Jesus, and you've been with Jesus, and you're getting to know Jesus, and you're growing in him, then you're the person God has sent on that campus as you follow Christ to help others see him the way you see him, that they too can follow. And if you're in sixth grade, you only have probably 3 years left, I hope, if you, you know, do what you're supposed to do. I have about 3 years left to make that impact and show them the Christ who's made a difference in your life. If you're in seventh grade, then you have 2 years left. If you're in eighth grade on that particular campus, you may have 1 year left before you see some of those students again. You may never see any of them, but had you shared with them the best thing that could ever happen to them? Same thing if you're a freshman or sophomore, a junior or a senior in high school. That's your window. That's your time where you can share with all those around you how good God has been to you. And if God has been good to you, somebody needs to know that. Otherwise, they'll sit in class with us all this time. We'll talk about everything else there is to talk about. And when life is over, they'll look back and say, why didn't you tell me? So we have a challenge. If we're going to exist as fans, we just stand on the side and we cheer God on, but we don't say anything too much about that. But if we're going to be followers, then we're going to be fully invested in it. That means that I got to forsake things, and I'll do that to follow Christ. That means then that I got to grow in him and arrange my agenda so that I'm studying more with him. Then that's what I'm going to do. But it also means that when I go, I'm going to point other people to him, because I have fallen and given my life to him as my Savior. Our challenge as followers is to know him. Our challenge is to grow in him. And our challenge is also to go with him. And as we go, then we are to show others. You ever wondered, why did God, if your parents are in here, you can't answer this question. You ever wondered, why would God put you in that family? You ever wondered, why God gave you that brother? You ever wondered, why would God, and all the sisters to give me, why would he put me with this one? You ever wondered, with all the neighborhoods I could have lived in, why am I in this neighborhood? Or with all the families I could be engaged in, why this family? Could it be because God wanted you to know the love he has for you so that you can go into your family and be a missionary to your family, to your friends, to your sister, to your brother, and let them know that God? Because God has called you to follow him. So I just stand before you with a challenge that if you're going to move from being a fan to a follower, then you're going to invest your life in Christ and invest your relationship with Christ to grow so that you can bring others who are around you, that they too might learn of Christ from you, because you're his witnesses. So you know, you grow, and you go, and you tell others. Right now, how many of you have unsaved friends? Just be honest with that. They don't know God. I do. How many of you have family members who don't have a relationship with God? I do. Could it be that God has sent you there as light so that you could shine your light, that they who are in darkness can see him? We have to make a commitment. Just as the disciple in our text who heard from John the Baptist that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the world, just as that disciple left John and went to follow Christ, and as he's following Christ, he ran and got his brother so his brother can come and follow. we too are commanded to do the same. The question is, will we choose to? It starts with intercession. Now, for those of you who you haven't had a relationship with Christ, but you're longing to have that relationship, then you have to come, you can come and get to know him today. For those of us who know him, who've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we have a mandate to try to make a difference in someone else's life. I didn't ask Pastor Skipper to do this, but I'm going to ask you, how many of you have your cell phones with you? How many of you right now you're considering and you can think of that person who does not know the Lord that you know personally? How many? Raise your hands for me. Make sure and you know them personally. Why don't we do something here? In the time we have remaining, Beth, why don't we do something here? Would you right now, would you call them? Can they use their telephones in service? Can they do that? All right, see, I got permission. There it is. Never again. All right. Just for today. Because I know otherwise you were looking on and you were looking at scripture, right? I saw it. Yeah, that's what you're doing. Would you? No, in all seriousness, if we really want to follow Christ, Christ has made a difference in each and every one of our lives. Could you begin to identify who that is? Go ahead and look at your phone. Look at them. And would you get them on the phone? Call them right now. Just and this is what I want you to do. Because if we're serious about it, would you tell them when you get them on the phone right now? This is the only time. So listen, before Pastor Skipper changes his mind, let's go ahead and get this done. Call them up and just let them know, I want to pray for you. That's it. Just tell them the pastor's about to pray. And I want him. He's going to be praying right now. And I've been praying for you. And once you have him on the phone, Would you just in a show of solidarity, would you lift that? Because we believe with all faith that if God saved us, then he can save them. Get that family member on the phone. Get that friend on the phone. Do you have him yet? I see you. Yeah, go and tell him. I'm in church. It's okay. I'm in church. And since you couldn't make it, I want to just pray for you. That family member, whomever it is, can we care that much? That as we follow Christ, it won't become just all about us, but we're going to reach back and make him known to someone else. Right now. Come on. You have them? You have them? Do you have them? You have those friends? Go ahead and lift them up. I'm going to participate too. Lift your phones up. If they're on the phone, go ahead and lift them up. We want to pray for them. We want to pray for them. I have a family member who I've been trying to demonstrate Christ to. By the way I walk and the way I live. And I haven't been able just yet to convince him to see Christ the way I know him. But I too pray that he'll come to know him as I do. Hey, Dad. I'm in a service with a whole bunch of beautiful people. We're about to pray. And I want to pray with you. Is that all right? All right. Do you have your friend? Do you have your family? We're going to be real about it. If you're going to pray with them. I didn't hang up on you, did I? All right. Would you then join me? Lift up your phone. Just saw there. If they're on the phone with you. And let us pray that God will touch them as he touched us. That as we strive and to know him, to grow in him, to go with him, that they will see Christ in us. And we'll start that now by praying for them. Let's go to God and pray. Father, you've made a difference in our lives. And we thank you for that. I thank you that you didn't leave us the way you found us. But that when we saw you, you made yourself known to us.
you allowed us in. I lift up my father and I, on behalf of all my friends here, we lift up all those we're connected with, asking you to do a special work in their lives the way you've done it in our own. That you might use us to love them more. Use us to demonstrate you to them and bless them in this very moment. That through our acts of prayer and obedience, they too will see our lives pointing to you, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." I lift my family member to you as my friends lift up theirs, asking that you'd make a difference in their lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, Dad. You're welcome. Love you too, man. Later. Your mission field is in front of you. Your mission field is all around you. That as you go, as you follow, as you learn, that you show others. So if they're looking for the love of Christ, they may see it in you, in the way you engage with them, in the way you talk with them, and in the way we pray for them. Thank you for your time. God bless you.